next week we're doing, this is our second in a series called Emotions, and this week we're going to talk about fear. Fear is big business, is it not? You go to the amusement park, to Cedar Point, what's the first thing people beeline for? Is the roller coasters. The bigger and faster, the better. At water parks, I am getting easily onto the lazy river because no one else wants to go on it. Everyone else is lined up holding their inner tubes on those tall things to go down. And what is the name of that water park, Sarah, that's got the toilet bowl? Deep River. It's got this giant toilet bowl. People line up to get flushed down a toilet. Deep River. I went down it once, got almost stuck, and no, never again. Niles Haunted House, how many of you go to that every year? Man, they rake in the money. Have you ever listened to a teenager who just got back from Niles Haunted House? They had people, they were covered in blood, they had cuts on them, they were jumping out and scared us to death. It was awesome. Summer blockbusters are almost always scary movies, even if it is the original or the 10th or 11th sequel. People, there's something about fear that we like. It gives us a thrill. It exhilarates us. It gets our blood going and can be a lot of fun. Last year, my father-in-law passed in fall of last year, but my father-in-law, during while we're telling stories about him, this tickled me. He's 80 years old. Last summer, he went up to someplace in Michigan that has zip lining and went to zip line and was furious because they wouldn't let him on the zip line because they had an age restriction. Evidently, they don't let 80-year-olds on zip lines. He was very upset about that. How many of you been to the 4-H County Fair and the cow barn? Does anyone know where I'm going with this? I think it's the cow barn, right? And you have the boys in their Wrangler sitting on about midway of the aisle, sitting on the hay bales. They're looking like they're bored to tears, waiting for someone that's a female about their age and pretty. Because as soon as that female gets about right here, they go, and a giant spider comes down, fake spider comes down from the ceiling. And of course they squeal. A lot of fun, unless you're afraid of spiders, right? Sarah was about 10 years old, and she called for me to come kill a spider in the living room. And I came out and clear over on the other side of the living room. Up on the ceiling is a spider that's about this big. And I said, and I know, you know, to get the spider, I'm going to have to, like, climb over the television and get on a ladder and kill this stupid thing. And so because I'm such a compassionate mother, I said to her, get over it. It's on the other side of the room. It's not going to hurt you. Knock it off. So I went about my business, and next thing I know, I heard this scream, this shriek that sounded like Sarah had cut her arm off. I mean, it made my blood run cold because something horrific had just happened to my daughter. And I come running into the living room and that stupid spider had walked all the way across the living room ceiling, gotten right over her and dropped on her. Oh, I'm not laughing. Oh my gosh, that was hilarious. She didn't think so. Some fears can be fun. Some fears can paralyze us. Sometimes we can get into situations that are so scary, or our fears get so huge that we don't do anything. We just stand there. Keith took me hiking when we were early in our relationships. He took me hiking a lot in the Smoky Mountains. And there's this one trail, and I can't remember what waterfall it is, but the trail, you come up, and then the waterfall's here, and there's stepping stones. They go across the creek, and then you finish the trail. And up here's the waterfall, and over here is probably a gentle cascade of water, but to me, it was Niagara Falls on the other side. And I was doing fine. You know, Smoky Mountains, it sounds like you're in the nature. Actually, 15 million people are always on the trail with you, and we're all just hiking. Yeah, we get across these stepping stones, and I got in the middle of that creek and froze. It came upon me that fast. I was petrified. I couldn't go back. I couldn't go forward. I've got a husband going, hey, Nance, come on, come on. And I'm frozen. He had to come get me. Fear can paralyze you. God gave us the emotion of fear so that we could protect ourselves from harm. It's meant to keep us safe. But if we let fear take over, it can keep us from enjoying the life that God intended us to have. Fear is an important emotion. It's vital to our survival. Fear teaches us to have a healthy respect for dangerous things, even spiders. It reminds us to look both ways before crossing the street. It reminds us to put on our helmets when we ride bicycles. It reminds us to stay away from dark alleys, stay away from strangers, avoid hot stoves, keep our hands off of frayed electrical cords. All sorts of dangerous fear is important to our survival. One of the most dramatic moments in the life of Jesus happened because of fear. While crossing the sea, Jesus and his disciples were caught in a terrible storm. Starts out with later that day when evening came, Jesus said to them, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. They left the crowd and took him in the boat just as he was, and other boats followed along. Later that day, this was early in his ministry, he had just called the disciples. He'd been preaching all day, all day, all day. The crowds already that were following him were huge. They sat on the banks, which are like hillsides of the Sea of Galilee. His back is against the sea, and he's preaching to them. It's almost like a, you know, sound bowl. But they start pressing. There's so many of them. They're pressing and pressing and pressing. And then finally, he doesn't have any choice. He has to get in a boat and row out a little way to continue his preaching. So it's the end of the day, sermon's over, and they left the crowd and took him in the boat as he was. They're almost acting like handlers. I almost picture like how the handlers are handling these presidential candidates. You know, okay, time to go, next city, next town. Day's over, it says just as he was, so the day's over, you're done preaching, have a seat. Same boat, we'll go to the next town. No break, no walk. Just head out. And Jesus is exhausted. He's worked all day. So he goes to the back of the boat. He finds a pillow and he lays down and goes to sleep. And then all hell breaks loose. There's this terrible storm. Sea of Galilee is at the bottom of a bowl. And there's some mountains rising above it. Top of the mountains have some snow on them. Sea of Galilee is warm and humid. We're from Indiana. When cold air comes down and hits warm, humid air, we all know what's gonna happen. This was a huge storm, and it was at night. It says it had gale force winds. The National Weather Service says gale force is 61 to 72 miles per hour, and they're not in a Carnival Cruise Line boat. They're in a Sea of Galilee type boat. Giant waves, so much water that the boat gets swamped. And when a boat is full of water, it sinks. So the disciples freak out and they wake Jesus up. Then they said, teacher, don't you care that we're drowning? Jesus gets up. He looks at the storm. He looks at the wind. He looks at the lake and he says, knock it off. And then Jesus turns to his disciples and says, why are you frightened? Don't you have any faith yet? Overcome with awe, they said to each other, who is this? Even in the wind and the sea obey him. Now I want you to note something. The disciples went out in the boat with Jesus, and a bunch of other boats followed him, it says. These disciples weren't alone in the lake. There were a whole lot of other people going through the exact same storm they were going through. And when the disciples cried out to Jesus to save them, it wasn't just them that reaped the benefit. That storm stopped for all of them. Every person in every boat on that lake. The disciples were called out for having little faith. But the fact of the matter is they had enough faith to know to wake up Jesus. They didn't just accept that they were going to drown. They didn't try to just weather the storm. They didn't try to bail the boat. They cried out to Jesus, and their answered prayer was witnessed by every other person in every other boat on that lake. Trusting in Jesus allowed the disciples, in their greatest fear, to still point to the one who saves. One of our greatest fears is the fear of the unseen or the unknown, going through a dark room, or around switchbacks on a mountain pass, starting a new job, becoming a parent for the first time. It's really scary to not know what's going to happen next. Man stood on the side of the road on a dark night hitchhiking, and a big storm blew up. No cars were passing. This storm was so strong that he could hardly see a few feet in front of him. And suddenly he saw a car come towards him and stop. And the storm was raging so ferociously that he didn't even think about it. He got in the car and closed the door and looked and realized there was no one behind the wheel. And then the car started moving ahead slowly. And the guy looked down the road and he saw a curve coming and he was afraid and he started praying and he was begging for his life. And just before the car hit the curve, a hand appeared through the window and moved the steering wheel. And this guy, paralyzed in terror, watched how the hand appeared before every curve in the road. The guy gathered strength, got out of the car, and he ran to the nearest town. He's wet. He's in shock. He runs into the closest bar. He asks for 2 shots of tequila, and he starts telling everyone about this horrible experience, this car he got in, this hand that cut popping through the window. Every time there was a curve, this mysterious hand driving the car. On the other side of the bar were 2 guys talking just as intimately. They had run out of gas, and they had been pushing their car when suddenly a hitchhiker had hopped into it. Fear the unknown when you're afraid because you don't know what will happen next. Remember, Jesus does know what's going to happen next. Before you were even born, He and the Father knew everything about your life. He knew what decisions you were going to make. He knew what decisions other people were going to make that were going to affect you. Even before your storms hit, He was already in the boat, ready to help you weather it. Even before the tiniest seed of fear starts to well up in your belly, Jesus is already aware of what's going to happen, and He's already putting into place His plan to help you through it. Being with Jesus, being a Christ follower, knowing Him, having Him in the boat with us, doesn't keep the storms of life from happening. The disciples were fishermen. They were well aware of the dangers of the Sea of Galilee, the storms that could blow up out of nowhere. Very frightening stuff, but they couldn't allow their fear of what could happen keep them from crossing the sea. If we think of all the things that could happen to us, we would never do anything. We probably wouldn't even get out of bed. We could get out of bed, trip over something, break our leg, get gangrene, and die. If we allow fear to take over, we don't do anything. We never go anywhere. We never try anything. But knowing Jesus is not going to prevent some very bad things from happening. There are some things we do that seem like the safest things in the world. And then disaster strikes. Chaos ensues. We can waste a lot of time being afraid of what could happen. There's a woman who for many years couldn't sleep at night, fretting. She had this routine where she'd spend a couple hours every night before bed, checking all the windows 6 or 7 times, locking all the doors 6 or 7 times, looking out the windows, turning on lights, turning off lights, because she was worried that her home could be burglarized. And then one night her husband heard a noise in the house, so he went downstairs to investigate, and sure enough, he found a burglar. And the husband said to the burglar, "Hey, come on upstairs and meet my wife. She's been waiting for you for 10 years. We can't allow fear to control us. When we let fear take over, it keeps us from taking any risks at all. Fear of getting hurt keeps us from learning to skate or ride a bicycle. Fear of rejection prevents us from making friends. Fear of public speaking keeps us from discovering that we have a gift for words. Fear of persecution keeps us silent about our faith. The Bible's clear. God does not want us to have a spirit of fear, but a spirit of boldness. Sometimes our fear isn't the fear of the unknown. It's not the fear of what could happen, but it's the fear of what is happening right now. Some of you are in the middle of some storms that seem insurmountable, unsurvivable. Finances, illness, loss, relationship issues. They're too big. The gale force winds blowing around you in your boat. The gale force winds are blowing around you and your boat is about to sink. You're afraid. You're not just afraid. You are petrified. You are horrified. This is an impossible situation. You are never going to get out of the storm. And that's precisely when you need to remember two things. One is this. It may at times seem like Jesus isn't there, that he's not hearing your prayer, that he's not waking up. But the reality is, Jesus is at the back of the boat. The back of the boat, the place where the boat is steered, and he may seem asleep, but he is still in the pilot seat. It may very well be that you're going to have to go through the storm to get out of it. It may very well be that you're going to have to deal with the winds and the rain and the chaos and the upheaval for a very long time. But he's still there. He's in the pilot seat. He's still in control of it all. Counselor once told me that when I was sinking into my what's going to happen spirals, do you ever get those what's going to happen spirals? You think, oh, what am I going to do now? He told me to ask this question. What's the worst that could happen? And if the answer isn't, I could die. And he said there was nothing to worry about. And I started thinking about it. And really and truly, if the answer to what's the worst that could happen is I could die as a Christ follower, even that is nothing to worry about. Because I serve a Savior that's defeated death. Freaking out's always an option. I'm pretty good at freaking out. We can't help but feel fear sometimes, and when the fear becomes overwhelming, we absolutely, absolutely have someone in the boat with us that can help us face the fears. There's no guaranteed ever that Jesus is going to calm the storm. He can. He does sometimes. Sometimes he doesn't. But there is a guaranteed always that he will allow you to face the storm. It's a movie called Deep Impact. I think I showed a clip of this some time ago. There's a woman who reconciles with her father at the end of the world. And they're on a beach. A comet has hit the earth and it has caused a giant tidal wave. there's nothing they can do. The scientists have already saved the important people in the world. Everyone else is going to die. Everyone knows that. So she and her dad are on the beach, and you see this giant tidal wave coming. You know, it's going to take out New York City, that thing. I think Godzilla is surfing on it. And in this scene, she's with her dad, and they both brace themselves. They see what's coming. They understand their fate. They know there's nothing they can do about it. But they're confident. She's confident because her father is standing next to her. So she plants her feet, and she pulls herself up, and she puts her chin up, and she faces what's coming. And at the last minute, fear overwhelms her. This thing's about to hit her. And she turns around and she buries her face into her father's shoulder and says, "Daddy." And that's what knowing Jesus gives us. The fear will still be there. The chaos will still be there. The storm may not ease, but we have a Savior who's got our back. He's got his arms around us. He allows us to draw ourselves up, plant our feet, stare that fear that's coming right in the face, face it, and when it becomes overwhelming, we have a God that allows us to bury our faces in his shoulder and say, "Daddy." Here's what a storm in your life does not mean. It does not mean that God doesn't love you. It does not mean that God is angry with you or that he is paying you back for something. God is not toying with you. Sometimes the storms that happen in our lives are self-made. Many times it's just that the storms happen. And trying to analyze them or assign blame is just fruitless. We live in a fallen world. Jesus said, God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. In other words, good and bad happens to everyone. The important thing to remember is who's in control of the situation. It's only in the storms that we get to truly experience all Jesus is. After the storm was calmed down, the disciples said, "Who is this?" It's during the storms in our life that we see Jesus in his full power. The disciples may have been afraid of the storm, but after Jesus calmed everything down, the ancient language says they were terrified of Jesus. Their fear of the storm was nothing compared with the fear they had when they realized who it really was with them in the boat. It's one thing to be in the boat with someone you believe was sent by God to be a great teacher and a spiritual leader. It's an entirely different thing to find out you're in the boat with God. Your knees will give way and you'll begin to tremble. You'll find it difficult to breathe because you are confined in a small space with the one who is the Lord of the universe. It's a terrible thing to be blind, but the blind man couldn't see who Jesus was until he was healed. The deaf man could not hear Jesus until his ears were opened. The lame man was able to leap and dance so that he loved the master and wanted to follow him. Sin had ruined Mary until Jesus delivered her and she was able to understand who he was. Doubting Thomas was devastated by the events that led to the death of Jesus. We all could tell our stories of when a crisis moment caused us to know who Jesus was. If you place your complete faith and trust in Jesus, you'll have a greater understanding of him, a deeper relationship with him, a new love for him when the storm is over. And you'll be able to see his power over darkness, his depth of love for you. Jesus is telling us to live by faith, not by fear. on old pirate maps, these old navigation maps that the pirates did, there'd be notations on the oceans. Here be dragons. Here be scorpions. Here be giants. Here be monsters. For us, we have a map of our life. And on the seas, the storms on the seas, the notation is, here be Jesus. William Barclay said to voyage with Jesus was to voyage in peace, even in a storm. Now that is universally true. It is not something which happened once. It's something which still happens and which can happen for us. In the presence of Jesus, we can have peace even in the wildest storms of life. I think probably the most important thing about this whole story is the disciples were humans. They weren't sure what was going to happen following Jesus. They already had an inkling that it wasn't going to be life as they knew it as fishermen. But they had no idea what was going to happen. They did know what could happen. They knew the dangers that they were facing. The dangers of crossing the Galilee at night. The dangers of crossing the Galilee in the storm. The danger of following the one who the Roman authorities and the Jewish authorities got very, very mad at. So they knew what could happen. And they knew what was happening right then in their life. They had been uprooted. And they had been asked to follow one who was terrifying them. But here's the point. They got in the stinking boat. And then they let Jesus go back to the pilot seat. God does not want us to be afraid. He wants us to have the kind of fear that will save our physical life. But what God really wants all of us to do is to get in the boat and give Jesus the wheel. Amen.